Let's pray, y'all. Father God, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for being wonderful to us, Lord. This morning we ask that you would accept our worship as a pleasing aroma, that you would accept our praise as a blessing to you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would use these words today to encourage and inspire us as we look at your scriptures. In your name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. It's so great to see like half of the church here. It seems like we have a lot of people sick right now, so we do need to be just really lifting people up, right, for various illnesses and medical procedures and various things that are going on. So don't forget to be praying while you're praying. Don't forget to be praying for your family here at LRBC, right? And hey, right now we have our awesome kids that they get to go back and they get to go hang out with the most amazing teachers in Ogle County. How great is that, that as a church, we have the most amazing teachers in Ogle County? Every other church wishes they had what we have. So listen, parents, be sure to thank your teachers. Everybody, really, be sure to thank the teachers, because we have these teachers that will spend time throughout the week focusing and looking at scripture in order to be able to bring it to these kids in a way that it makes sense and they understand it. So it's a really cool thing that we have here. We also have those of you joining us online. We want to thank you for joining us online, whether you are live with us this morning or whether you are with us at one of the later podcast opportunities. But we are honored that you've chosen to be a part of our extended spiritual family here this morning. I'm going to get some water because my throat's a little dry. All right, so I want to share something really kind of exciting this morning. I'm pretty excited about it. I hope you guys will get there with me, right? I want to share this with you guys and hopefully invite you guys on a journey with me. Now, many of you know that there is a brand, we've been talking about it the last few weeks, there's a brand new school opening in Mount Morris called Mount Morris Christian Academy. Mount Morris Christian Academy is opening in the fall of 2023. That means like 6 months from now, there's going to be a Christian school officially opened in Mount Morris. Now, here's what that means. That means they have need, one thing, for students, right? There's a need for students, but there's also a need for adults, for teachers, for various staff level positions. So be praying about that. But there's something that many of you don't know, okay? A few of you may know this, but a lot of you don't know this. A few years ago, I went into an elder meeting, and I shared something with the elders, and it was something that was just really weighing on my heart. And I went to the elders, and I said, first of all, there's nothing we can do about this, but I want to share a burden that I have in my heart, right? And what I shared with them is that there's a lack of education, of Christian education in this region. There's a few Christian schools in Rockford. There's a Christian school in Grand Detour. There's some, other places elsewhere. But there's a lot of need in this region, right? Like it's a long drive for parents to drive from Leaf River to Rockford to take their kids to school and then back to Freeport to go to work, right? Like, that's just not reasonable. And so I shared about this idea that I really felt like in some way, and I didn't know how, but in some way, as a church, we should do more than just be concerned for the future for our kids and for the way that they're learning. Listen, it's no secret that there are evil ideologies that are being pushed into the school system, right? And while we are blessed in this region that all of our school districts have chosen to so far not follow some of these evil ideologies. But very soon it's not going to be their choice, right? They're going to be forced, mandated to teach things not just that are abiblical, meaning like they're not biblical, history is not biblical, right? So not just that they're unbiblical in that way, but that they are anti-biblical, right? Like there are ideologies being taught that God is evil, that the Bible is evil. There's just these horrible things. And so it's something that has been just really weighing on my heart. And increasingly, I've seen the need for Christian schools to kind of fill in the gap, right? There's a lot of parents that can't do what a lot of you guys do, right? And so I've seen this, and I have seen solid Christian parents, solid Christian families, and their kids are leaving the public school system essentially denying Christ. I mean, I've seen solid Christian families whose parents whose kids are graduating high school thinking abortion is okay. Like, that's because that's what they're being taught, right? And so I've had this burden in my heart about something, and so I've been praying about this. I've been praying about this for a few years. Well, fast forward to when I had a conversation with the elders. And I shared with the elders my concern for the families in this area specifically. Listen, we can't change the world, but we can impact our backyard, right? And so I've been really just concerned about the families in this area. So I asked the elders to pray with me, right? And I said, look, there's nothing we can do. Like, we don't know how to do anything in this regard, but there's a need. And so we need to pray about what is our part in that need. Like, I want, as a church, when we have something that burdens our heart, I don't want us to just say this burdens my heart. We need to actually do something about it, right? And so that was kind of my prayer, and that's what we talked about. Here was our prayer. Our prayer was that God would need to send the right person that could have a passion for education to be able to make an impact. But there was no way that we could do it because we knew nothing. Our elders and me, some of you would say we know nothing about nothing, but we know nothing about education, right? Like, just be very clear about that. So we would need God to bring the right person with the passion for the next generation. Fast forward a few months ago when the decision was made for a new school to open up in Mount Morris, a new Christian school to open up in Mount Morris. Now, there was a lot of controversy. You guys all know there's a lot of controversy over the last couple of years about the middle school moving out of Mount Morris and moving into Oregon. But listen, that is what has led to the opportunity of a Christian school coming to Mount Morris, because it was actually the leaders of Mount Morris that reached out to this school planting organization and said, hey, we have a big building. We just need somebody to do a school, right? And so that's how this has kind of started. Fast forward a little bit more time, and the school planting organization, I'm talking with them, and they made a claim. They said that in order for them to open a school in any area, it needs to be attached to a local church. Like, they don't want to just plant a Christian school randomly out there. It has to be attached to one local church. Now, other churches absolutely can be a part of it, but one church has to be the spiritual leadership of that school. Fast forward a little bit more. I know this is a long story, but I promise, just hang in there with me, okay? Because I began having conversations with Grace Association about what they are doing and how they're going to start this school and what's going to happen. And I never heard prior to a couple of months ago, never heard of Grace Association, never heard of Families of Faith Church, which is the name of the church that planted a school 17 years ago. And then they have, since 2020, really, they've planted, I think, five or six more schools that opened last year. And then now they're planting five or six that are opening this year. I'd never heard of these people or anything. But as I begin to talk to them, and I've had multiple conversations with Grace. Actually, Beth and I went down there and viewed their school this last week and had some conversation with them. And here's the deal. Grace would like us as a church to be that spiritual sponsor, that spiritual leadership of Mount Morris Christian Academy. And it's an amazing opportunity to be able to impact this brand new educational work in the region, right? And not just education, but like spiritual education, to be able to teach the scriptures 5 days a week to kids in our backyard. It's an amazing opportunity, right? Now, I've been praying about this, and I've been praying that God would send people to this area, to our church, that would somehow have the knowledge and the passion to do something in the educational field. Now, God hasn't just sent a person. He sent an organization that knows how to do school, right? And knows how to start from nothing and has the resources. I don't know how it all works, frankly. I'm not that person. But we have people that are able to manage the needs and the vision of a brand new Christian school. They just need spiritual leadership. They want spiritual leadership in this area. They are hyper-focused on putting the right people in the right positions to be able to make this thing fantastic. And this is more than a school for us. This is more than a school. This is an opportunity for our church to minister to the families in this area, many of which will not be attending church probably anywhere, right? And so we have this opportunity to minister to these families in a community that needs Jesus. Listen, I've talked about it since I came here. I've talked about the fact that 80% of Ogle County does not go to a Bible teaching church. 80%, that's a lot of people, okay? So we're talking about families in our community that likely have nothing to do with church or with Christianity. Maybe they say that they're Christian because they go to church on Easter, right? But we have this opportunity to be a part of something amazing. Listen, I'm not going to tell you guys all the secrets. I'm not going to tell you guys, I don't even know all the secrets, but I'm not going to tell you guys everything yet. But I want you to be paying attention to see what opportunities you personally have to impact this brand new work that God is doing here in our community. And it's amazing. Here's why I tell you all of this, because you're like, Billy, the sermon should be done by now. Here's why I tell you all of this, because it's amazing to see what God can do. It's amazing to see what can happen when you just have a conversation with the Lord. That's it. When you just have a conversation, an open conversation with the Lord. And it's amazing to see what God can do when you go to him boldly and you share or you plead for something that is a concern for you, right? Something that breaks your heart. For instance, we have another opportunity. We have Tara and Carl Hagman. They are helping us launch a brand new, I'm going to talk about this later also, but a ministry to farmers. It's amazing to see what God can do when your heart breaks for somebody else, when you step up and when you are a part of that conversation. So this morning, we're going to take a look at a conversation between Abraham and God. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but our graphics have changed. We're no longer in Abram's journey. Now we're in Abraham's journey. Remember, because God changed Abraham's name last week to coincide with what God was doing for him. So we're going to look at this conversation between Abraham and God, and we're going to see how Abraham's boldness led to God revealing something pretty amazing about his character. And it's going to be really exciting. I think it's really exciting. What we're going to see today, actually, is a man who decides to talk to God for the benefit of other people. For the benefit of other people. Now, today we're going to skip a section of scripture, but don't worry, I'm going to come back to it. As a matter of fact, later this week, there's going to be a video. It'll be out on social media. It's on a YouTube channel called Guy and a Bible. And so I'll be posting that out later this week, and I'm going to talk about the section of scripture that I'm kind of bypassing today, as well as give a recap of today's message. So you want to pay attention to that. Today, though, we're going to pass over the conversation that God has with Abraham and Sarah. We're going to pass over the conversation for just right now, where Sarah has the opportunity to laugh at God the way that Abram laughed at God last week. We're gonna move past that for a second, and we're going to look at an interaction that Abraham has with God. Now, there's something really amazing, really interesting that we're going to see this morning, okay? Here's what it is. We're going to see something called a theophany. Theophany, that's a whole big word, right? And you're like, whatever, I speak English. But a theophany, what that is a physical manifestation of God, okay? It's where God, not like the angel of the Lord, not like an angel Gabriel or Michael, or this is God, puts himself into a human form to be able to interact with Abraham. We see this a few times through Scripture. We also see something called a Christophany, which is a physical manifestation of Christ before he is incarnate. And so, but today we're looking at a theophany, and what we're going to see here is that Abram has the opportunity to hear and see God in a very, very real way. I'm going to show you that in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day." The Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat by the door in his tent at the heat of the day. That's really interesting that he's acknowledging the heat, right? And he's sitting here. But here's what's the most important about this particular passage that I messed up on here. But the word Lord, L-O-R-D, the word Lord. Now, that's supposed to be all capitalized right there. If you look at your Bible, that word is all capitalized, the L, the O, the R, the D. It's all capital letters, and there's a reason for that. Because whenever you read that word in the Old Testament, and it is all capitalized like that, that's referring to the Hebrew word Yahweh. That's the name of God. That's the name that God gives himself. I am that I am. Yahweh means I am. And so this is actually Yahweh. This is actually God. Whenever you read, I don't care what translation you're in, if you see it all in capitals, then that is talking about God himself. That's the name he gave when he has an interaction with Moses, right? At the burning bush, he says, "I am Yahweh, I am that I am." So these four capital letters tells us that this is God. This is not just an angel. This is not just a person that is a prophet or something like that. This is God that is in physical form, which is just kind of amazing to think about, right? Like, that's just an amazing, for me, that's just an amazing thing to think about. But that's not the whole, that's not everything in the context today, but that kind of sets the stage for what we're going to talk about here this morning, okay? And what we're going to see is a conversation that Abraham had with God about a place called Sodom. Now, we've read about Sodom, we've talked about Sodom, and we've talked about how Lot, Abraham's nephew, lives in Sodom. But go ahead and take a look at this passage, Genesis chapter 18. We're actually going to start in verse 16. But before we do that, I want to introduce you to another side of Abraham. We've seen a lot of different pieces of Abraham, right? We've seen Abram as a warrior. We've seen Abram as a follower and as the person that God has blessed and God has promised. Well, today, I want us to meet Abraham the prayer warrior. Abraham the prayer warrior, right? We know that Abraham can be a physical warrior. He's done that. He was like SEAL, Navy SEAL dude, went out and took out everybody and saved the world. A few weeks ago. But today we're going to take a look at Abraham, the prayer warrior. Well, because I think it's kind of cool. I think it's kind of a cool thing that Abraham did, and I want to show you guys. And so we're going to read up, we're going to get prepared, and let's have a conversation about Genesis chapter 18, starting in verse 16, from 16 to 21. That's what we're going to read this morning. "Then the men set out from there." Now, the men are the men that appeared, the Lord and the men that appeared. We'll talk about that later this week. But the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." All right. So what's going on here? What's happening here? This is really interesting. And honestly, as I've read this in the past, and as I've seen this, I've at times been kind of confused about what's going on here. Because you have Abraham. You have Abraham who gets up, he's walking with the men, and he kind of eavesdrops on the Lord. Except you can't really eavesdrop on God, right? Like you can't sneak up and hear something that God doesn't want you to hear. So clearly God had this message for Abraham in the midst of that, right? That means whatever God said was meant for Abraham to hear. And maybe it was a test. Maybe he was pointing out something. Maybe God was just encouraging Abraham. I don't know exactly, but we do see something really interesting. We see a very interesting point being made here. And in this passage, here's what we can see. Here's what I saw, at least. We see that the Lord reflects on righteousness. The Lord reflects on righteousness. As he's having this conversation with these men and Abraham is eavesdropping, right? We have the Lord talking about righteousness. And it's kind of a big deal because as we see in this passage, there's a pretty big contrast that we're about to see, right? Because first of all, here's what we have. We have Abraham and the fact that Abraham will lead his family to righteousness. Abraham will lead his family to, that's just what he's going to do. That's what the Lord says he's going to do. And right here, he says that Abraham has been chosen because he may command his children. Now, that word "may" is not a question, right? Like for you and me, if I say Beth may do something, it's kind of a question. Like she might do it, she might not. I'm not exactly sure. But with God, this is not a question. This is a statement of fact. Abraham has been chosen because he will lead his family in righteousness. But not just righteousness. He's not going to leave it at just righteousness. He's also going to lead them and teach them the way of justice. So Abraham will lead his family in righteousness and teach them justice. It's kind of important here because Abraham is actually about to appeal to God's justness, right? To the character of God that is justice, to the fact that God is just. That's what Abraham's about to appeal to. Now, as we compare the Lord's reflection of Abraham with Sodom, with what we've already seen and heard of Sodom, we see that Sodom is filled with unrighteousness and injustice. Right? So Abraham is going to teach righteousness and teach justice, but Sodom is filled with unrighteousness and injustice. And we're going to learn more about that next week. We're going to learn more about this injustice and righteousness. But for now, the Lord says that there is an outcry for Sodom. Now, and this is important. This word outcry is not just talking about somebody that's loud, right? When this word in this sense, in this passage, is not just talking about somebody that is yelling. No, this word for outcry would be better described as a cry of victims who suffer injustice. That's what this outcry is. It's a cry of victims who are suffering or have suffered injustice. Now, we think we see injustice all around us, don't we? I mean, if we're honest, if we look at the world around us, we see all kinds of injustice. And many times we want to help, right? Like many times we want to step in and we want to help prevent this injustice. And that's one of the opportunities that hopefully we have with the various ministries of LRBC, right? But this isn't just yelling. Now, later in Scripture, and we're not going to go there right now. I'm just going to let you know. Later in Scripture, there's these prophets, okay? There is Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Amos. These are three prophets that later on are going to talk about an outcry. And they're going to be talking about the injustices that will be committed in Israel and in Judah as they are living. And here's what's going to happen. These prophets are actually going to compare the injustices of Sodom and Gomorrah with the injustices that Israel and Judah are going to experience. So that just gives you a little bit of a view. We even see in the New Testament, we even see Jesus acknowledging the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah and how Sodom and Gomorrah were justly destroyed, right? We see Jesus talking about that. So in this passage that we just looked at, we see this contrast of who Abraham is and what Abraham will produce within his family, righteousness and justice. We see that, and then we contrast that with who Sodom is and what Sodom is producing within her gates. Now, Abraham is not a stupid man, right? He's not dumb. He knows about the justice of God. He's seen the justice of God. He's seen it played out in various ways as God has protected him, as God has allowed him to go forth and wipe out all these other people that are causing injustice. He has seen, he knows God's sense of justice, right? And so he knows that God will not allow this evil that is being done to go unanswered, because that would not be in the character of God. So Abraham appeals to that, right? Abraham also knows that his nephew, someone he loves, whether they've had fights or not, right? We all have disagreements with family, but you still love family. So he knows that his nephew lives in Sodom. And Abraham has a hope that maybe there's others that are righteous in Sodom. And so Abraham prays for the righteous of Sodom. Specifically, he prays for those that are righteous in Sodom. So, I guess really quick, I should potentially define the word prayer. Now, we all know what prayer is. Dear Jesus, dear God, you know, whatever, right? Prayer is actually just talking to God. Prayer is having a conversation with God. It's that simple. Now, remember earlier I said that Abraham was a prayer warrior, and we were going to see him today as a prayer warrior. So let's talk about that for a minute. What is a prayer warrior? What is that? What does that mean to be a prayer warrior? Well, let me ask you this question. Do you know anybody in your life or anybody that you've known sometime in your life that you would personally classify as a prayer warrior? In other words, here's what this person does. Here's what a prayer warrior looks like. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you ask them to pray for you for some specific situation, you know that they're never going to forget to pray for you, right? You know they are writing it down in a list, and every time they open their Bible and every time they have a prayer time with the Lord, that list is right there, and they're going over every single person by name and by situation. Like, whatever the details that they know, they are praying for those things specifically. Now, this is something, I'll be frank, this is something we all should be doing, but if we're honest, we don't, right? Like, we pray for people, but maybe we don't have that big, long list and spend time really lifting up people. Now, I will say this. I know for a fact we have multiple, in this spiritual family, we have multiple incredible prayer warriors that you know they're praying for you. They're praying for this church. They're praying for whatever situation you've asked them to pray for, right? And you can trust it. And here's the thing. They will pray for you until you beg them to stop. And sometimes you're like, okay, I've learned patience. Please stop praying for me to learn patience. I got that figured out, right? But we have some mighty prayer warriors here. I lost my place. Anyway, that's what we're gonna look at. That's how we're defining a prayer warrior. A prayer warrior is somebody that's not scared to ask God for the big stuff, right? They're not scared to go to God and be like, hey, God, you're amazing, but these people need help. And I'm begging you to help these people. That's a prayer warrior, right? They're going to stand up and they're going to stand before God and they're not going to move and they're not going to stop praying. They're not going to stop talking to God. And so because we have that in our mind, let's take a look at this conversation between Abraham and God. And let's see what we can learn as believers. Let's see what we can learn from this encounter. Starting in verse 22. We're going to read the rest of the chapter, 22 to 33, okay? So the men turned from there. These are the men, remember, the men that are with the Lord, right? These are angels with the Lord. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. They're beginning to walk towards Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. Not Abraham waited and watched and, hey, maybe I should go talk to them. Abraham stood still before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for 50 righteous people that are with it? Now, let me be clear. I've done a little bit of research, and there is a lot of speculation as to how big Sodom and Gomorrah were. But based on archaeological evidence, based on historical data, what we can gather is that Sodom and Gomorrah, each independently, even though they were kind of like a metroplex kind of situation, but independently, they were probably in the neighborhood of 25 to 50,000 people. Okay, that's roughly the amount of people living in this small city. And so Abraham is standing before God saying, will you kill 50,000 people if at least 50 of them are faithful? I mean, that's a big ask, right? But that's what he does. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all of the earth do what is just? Now, you'll notice in our English translation, we've put various, punctuation. Forgot the name, exclamation marks and things. And that's because in the Hebrew, there are emphases, whatever, that are being communicated to here. So what we see here is that Abraham is not like, hey God, would you really kill everybody if only 50 of them were faithful, would you kill them all? No, what you see here is Abraham saying, you are the God of justice. Would you actually kill everybody if there's at least 50 that are faithful? Like, Abraham is boldly going, standing in front of God, right? He says, far be it from you. And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. That's awesome. Like, that's a big win. If I'm Abraham, I'm going, all right, I did it. I'm going to go relax. I'm not going to push my luck here, right? But not Abraham. Abraham answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for a lack of 5? And he answered, I will not destroy it if I find 45. Again, he spoke and said, suppose 40 are found there. And he answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, this is Abraham again. Then he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry when I speak. Suppose 30 are found there. And he answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Remember, this is 30 faithful, 30 righteous people. That's all he's looking for. Out of a community of 25 to 50,000 people, he's looking for 30 that are righteous. And he answered, suppose 20 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry when I speak again. But this once, suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went away, and when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Abraham just did a big thing, y'all. Like, that had to be a little bit scary, maybe. But at the same time, maybe Abraham has a relationship with God because he's constantly having conversations with God that he felt like he could go boldly to God. So do we have that kind of relationship with God where we feel like we can go boldly to him? Or are we going to be more timid because maybe I haven't talked to you in a while, God? Like, can you imagine? I'm sure this has happened to you guys. You don't want to be that friend that calls somebody. You haven't talked to somebody in 25 years. And you call them up and you're like, hey, how you doing? Hey, I was just wondering if I could borrow some money. Like, you're not going to be that friend, right? But Abraham goes boldly to God. And we're going to see here a couple of important things about what Abraham did, which I think might encourage us, might challenge us to learn a little bit more about prayer today. That's my hope. That's my goal here. First of all, what we see is that Abraham stood still before the Lord. Another way to say it is that Abraham stayed with the Lord. The Lord started to walk. Abraham stayed with the Lord. He didn't leave. He didn't wait for him to come back. He didn't watch him go down the road. He stayed with the Lord. And that's important. And if we're honest, it's also hard sometimes, isn't it? Like, sometimes when we're going through the stuff that you're going through, it's hard to stay with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord is taking me to a place that maybe I don't want to go. Like, if you're honest, right? Spiritually, there are some places that we may not feel like we're ready to go there. For me, when God was just pounding on me, Billy, I want you to be a lead pastor. I was like, nope, not me. I'm not ready. I can't go to that place. Even the first time coming here, I was like, God, just like make me have a heart attack or something because I don't know how to do any of this stuff, right? Sometimes God is taking us a place that we just don't feel ready to go. But here, Abraham is staying with the Lord in the midst of this conversation. He stays there. There's something else that Abraham does, and I'll be honest, this is something that I find even harder to do. What Abraham does here is Abraham steps up to the Lord. Now that phrase, steps up, like that can mean things to a lot of different people, but imagine you play catch professionally and you step up to the plate with your bat. You're stepping up to the spotlight, right? You're stepping up. So this can mean different things for different people, but I want to be clear. Abraham steps up and stands in the gap between Sodom and God. Abraham knows where God is going, and Abraham stands in the gap between the God of the universe, the God of justice, and the people that need to be dealt with. He stands in that gap. He doesn't back down from God, and he doesn't give up. And man, that takes some faith, doesn't it? To step up to a place where you're not challenging God, but you're standing firm in God's character, right? You're saying, God, you wouldn't do, like, I know you, God, you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't kill these people if they're righteous. You wouldn't sweep away the righteous with the unrighteous. Like, that's not who you are, God. Abraham doesn't back up. He doesn't give up. Now, this is really important. Abraham is not naming it and claiming it, right? He's not saying, okay, God, I want this and this is why and you need to give it to me and I'm going to just manifest it. No, that's not what Abraham is doing. Abraham is looking at God's character and he's asking for what is just and what is righteous based on who God is. And he kept asking, right? He kept lowering the bar and he kept asking. And here's what I know. If God would have said, no, Abraham, I will not do that, Abraham would have said, okay, Lord, and walked away. But God left the door open, right? God allowed him to continue. And so Abraham didn't stop asking. Abraham boldly went to God and continued to ask for mercy for this city. His nephew's there. He's hoping there's at least 10 people in his nephew's family that would be righteous. Now, here's what's amazing. I just want this to percolate in your brain for the next week. God said he would not destroy this city if there were at least 10 righteous people. What we're going to see next week is that God does, in fact, destroy this city. That tells you, in this whole town, Lot, who grew up to know the Lord, who has been rescued by the Lord already, that there's not even 10 righteous people in Lot's family. That's pretty big. But Abraham wasn't scared to step up. Abraham knew who God was, and he knew who he was. Right? God was just talking about Abraham. He was just talking about Abraham, how Abraham is going to teach righteousness and Abraham is going to teach justice. He's reminding Abraham that he is a just God. Like that's what God is doing in this conversation with Abraham. He's reminding Abraham of who Abraham is, and he's reminding Abraham of who he is. Listen, let me bring this all together for us. As a church, as a fellowship of believers, we have been presented the opportunity to have a major impact on the community around us. God planted us here back in 1984, 1983, prayers started. The building was, I think, in 86, if I can remember correctly. But God put us in this place for a reason. It wasn't just because, hey, those people, I want to get them out of my hair. God put this church in this place for a very specific reason. And now we've been given an opportunity to have a major impact on our community. and not just our community, but those leaving our community. We've been given this opportunity, not just for a moment, right? Like we have this opportunity, not just to impact others for Christ for the next 5 years. We have the opportunity to impact others for Christ for generations to come. That's amazing. That God would say, hey, this little church, I'm using my words, don't be mad at me. I'm using my words to the search committee. This little church in Podunk Leaf River can be used to change this entire community for generations. Like God's big enough to do that. Amen? Now, when I first came to this church, I asked a question. The question I asked was, if Leaf River Baptist Church were to disappear, close up our doors and walk away, would anyone care? Would anyone in the community, specifically, would anyone in the community care if we just disappeared? Would they even notice that we were gone? And here's the deal, and I don't want you to get mad at me, I'm just giving you the information. Every single person I asked this question said no. No one would even know we were ever here. No one would even know that we were doing something here. Like, and I'm not talking about us, I'm not talking about our families, I'm talking about the community, I'm talking about those outside, those that don't go to church. No one would know. That's a hard thing for us to face. That was a hard thing for us to face. But now we fast forward to the spring of 2023, and we are, as a church, actively involved in Leaf River. We're launching a brand new ministry to farmers that, let me be very clear, has never been done. Like, we have searched other churches. We have searched other communities to figure out, what do we do here? How do we do this? No one is doing ministry to farmers. Not from a Christian perspective. There's the 4-H that does amazing things. There's the vendors that really support the farmers. But from a gospel perspective, no one is reaching out to farmers. And I've reached out to thousands of churches, and nobody's doing anything. So we're stepping into something brand new that, quite frankly, none of us know how to do. But we have people that are passionate. We have people that hearts are breaking because farmers need Jesus too. Amen? And now we're looking at actively being involved in the creation of a brand new school in this community. How amazing. How amazing is God that he would allow us, a group of random people, to be involved in something like that. That he would say, you people, I know you might not be, the superstars with the million followers on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or whatever, but I'm going to use you to impact not only this community, but this community for generations. It's amazing to me. Especially because we don't know how to do what we're doing, right? So that means we have to actually rely on the promises of God. We have to actually trust God to do the stuff that we're going to do, because we don't. Raise your hand if you know how to start a school from scratch. We don't know what we're doing, but we're going to trust God to do it. We see a big need. We see a big need in our community. We see a big need in the families of those that we truly care about. We see a big need. And as a church, we're saying we don't want to just watch it. We want to step up and we want to stand in the gap. And we want to say, Lord God, you are just and you are merciful. Don't wipe out this community because there's at least 50 of us that are faithful. Don't wipe us out. Don't leave these kids unbiblically educated. Don't leave these kids to the worldly worldview, to these evil ideologies, Lord, because you're just and you're merciful. And so we're asking you, Lord, to use us to step in the gap, to help those that are around us, to bless the farmers, to help the kids in the area, to work with the fire department in Leaf River and to work with the residents of Leaf River to impact their lives for good. Lord, don't forget these people because you're a loving God. We have that opportunity to step up. So we're going to stay with the Lord. We don't know where the Lord's going to take us, right? Like next week, the Lord could close down and say, hey, we're not going to start a school after all. That's okay, Lord. We're going to stay with you and we're going to follow you wherever that may be. And we're going to step up when we need to step up. And we're going to have that conversation with you, Lord, to say, use me to make an impact in these people's lives. And we're going to step up and we're going to boldly pray for those people that we're ministering to. We're going to boldly go before the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on these people because they don't know who you are. They don't understand. Even as Jesus is nailed to the cross, what was his prayer? Father, forgive them. They don't understand. They don't know what they're doing. So we get the opportunity to boldly go to God and pray for those that we're ministering to. Now that applies to us as a church. Like church-wide, this applies to us. As a matter of fact, we have prayer meetings Tuesdays and Friday mornings. If you're available, we'd love to have you join us. But that's as a church. What about you? Like, what about you specifically? What are you doing? What does your prayer time look like? Do you even have a prayer time? Do you even stand before the Lord at any point and say, Lord, use me? Or do you only cry out when you're hurting or when you need something? Listen, as a church, we have seen a need and we're seeking to step up and we're seeking to be used by the Lord and say, use us. So let me ask you each a question this morning. Are you willing to be used by the Lord? Now, last week I asked you a question. I said, I wanted you to ask yourself, can I trust God's promises? Well, this week, I want you to ask yourself, this is between you and God. This isn't, you can't cheat off of your neighbor on this thing. Ask yourself this question, assuming that you can, in fact, trust God's promises. Am I willing to be used by the Lord? And that's a big question. I mean, if I'm used by the Lord, that means I'm not in charge anymore, right? That means it doesn't have to be the way I want it to be. That means I have to let go and allow God to do whatever it is that God wants to do. That means I can't hold back his ministry because it's not being done my way, right? I have to give up my perceptions of how things should be. And I might not like it, right? Like I might say internally, I might be like, I would do it a little bit differently than that. Ooh, why did they do it that way? But if I'm going to walk with the Lord, I'm going to trust that the Lord's got it dealt with, right? I'm going to trust that the Lord has it all figured out because listen, God knows how everything is going to work 25 years from now. He doesn't need us to fix it. He just allows us to come along for the ride. God is using Abraham to bring generations, to bring nations. God is using Abraham. Listen, this is important. God is using Abraham to bring about Jesus. God's using Abraham, and it's not always going to go the way Abraham wants it to go. There are going to be times when Abraham wishes things were differently. Listen, if we're honest, Abraham's 100 years old now, right? Or 99. In this moment, Abraham's 99. If he was doing things the way, if God was doing things the way he wanted them done, he would have had kids at 25, not 100, right? Like those of you that are almost 100, you don't want kids, right? But Abraham is willing to be used by God in amazing ways. My question is, are you? Are you willing to be used by God in amazing ways? This morning, we're about to close in prayer, okay? But before I close, I want to invite everyone to join me at the new school in Mount Morris, the old school, the something Dom. It's right by Pinecrest. I don't remember the current name of it. But I want to invite you guys to join me over there right after Sunday school, right around 12:15. We'll be there. In your bulletins, you have a list of things that we need to be praying for this school. I want to invite you guys to come with me to the school for about 10 minutes and just pray for the school. Pray for the building, pray for the administration, pray for the kids, pray for everything that is going to be happening in that place. I want to invite you guys to join me as we just walk around the outside or as we just stand on the porch or as we sit in the parking lot and just pray for the future that is going to happen there, right? All right, listen, God is so much bigger than any of us can possibly imagine. I personally do not see a way for a school to open. I'm just going to be honest, right? But I know that God is so much bigger than my vision and that God can do amazing things. And here's what else I know. I know that God has chosen, for whatever reason, I don't understand why, because we're just a bunch of regular people, but for whatever reason, God has chosen to use us in Leaf River to have an impact on this community. And so I want to ask you to join me in that as we seek for whatever it is that God's leading us to. Whatever opportunities we have, and not just as a church, but you individually. Ask God, what is it he wants you to do? What part of ministry has God designed you to fill? Because listen, God has gifted every single one of us. And if you are unsure where to start, listen, I've printed off some spiritual gift kind of questionnaires and descriptions. I'm going to have those on the welcome desk in the back. If you are unsure as to what you are supposed to be doing or what you can do, fill one of those out. Let's have a conversation, because I promise you, whatever it is that God has gifted you in, God has made a ministry in this place to minister, not just to the people of Leaf River, but to the surrounding community, and not just today, but for generations. And so join me as we walk through this as a church, as we seek and say, God, what do you want us to do? We'll be there at 12:15-ish, right after Sunday school. Father God, Lord God, we come to you and we acknowledge that we are nothing but dust and ash. Lord, we humbly step up to you and we acknowledge that we are nothing. We acknowledge that you have nothing that you owe us for anything. That, Lord, we owe you more than we can ever possibly repay. But God, we know also that there are families in this region that don't know who you are. And Lord, we know that there are people in this community that don't understand what it means to have a relationship with you. And so, Lord God, we boldly come before you today and we ask you, we beg you, Lord, to use us in whatever way you see fit. Lord, if you want to use us for a day and then trash us, that's fine. We just ask, Lord, that you use us to make an impact on this community. Lord, as we think about the farmers and what they are soon to be facing as they go into the planting season, as they prepare their equipment, they prepare their fields, they do all of the things that farmers do that I don't understand. But Lord, we ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would give every farmer wisdom to know what they need to do. And Lord, we ask that you use us, Leaf River Baptist Church, to make an impact on the farmers in this area, Lord. Use us to show them a glimpse of who you really are. Lord, use us to remind them that you do care for them and that you do love them, Lord. Lord, as we look at Leaf River and the community of Leaf River, and we look at the firefighters and the first responders there, Lord, and we know that they face enormous hardships, Lord. God, we ask that you would use us as a church to give them encouragement. Lord, to remind them that you are the great healer and that you are the one that keeps them day by day, Lord. Lord, as we look at the community and we think about the various opportunities that we have to impact the community through Leaf River Days, through the Christmas parade, trunk or treat, and whatever else, Lord, that you may allow us to do, Easter service, brunch coming up, Lord, God, we ask that you would use us in whatever way you see fit, Lord. We are your trusty tools. We are your trusty church that is ready and willing to be used by you. And so, God, we ask, we boldly ask, will you wipe away this generation if there are 50 righteous people? Lord, we place all of this at your feet. We place everything we do at your feet. And we trust you with whatever the outcome is.